The Frontier Cavalry had once been the proud bulwark of the Holy League of Humanity. With the passage of time and the lack of an enemy, Frontier service had become nothing more than hellish punishment duty. It was now the last place to fall within the Empire's, and the lowest duty there was save indentured bondage or rowing in the galleys. There was nothing to patrol against this far out. It had been a week since they had seen the one starving goblin scuttling across the steppe. Lancing it had been more an act of mercy than defense of the realm. Cole stared up at the vault of the iron gray sky and the endless steppe that marched out to meet it on the horizon.
Russia is appallingly large.
He turned his head as a horse pulled up beside him. Snorri Yaroslav pushed back the hood of his cloak and smiled. Snorri was an ugly man. His broken nose and the ragged white scar that ran through his left eyebrow did not help matters. The Rus ran a hand over the thick brown stubble on his skull. He hadn't shaved any part of his head in days. His grin widened enough to spread his drooping mustaches and show his missing left canine tooth.
Cold enough for you Irish.
For the 100th time, Snorri. Welsh. Welsh, not Irish.
Anything Celtic is Irish, no matter what peat bog it might have clambered out of, eh?
Snorri himself was more Slav than the Swede he fancied himself. What hair the Rus had was brown, and he was a good head shorter than most real Swedes that Cole had met. But it was best not to mention that to Snorri. What Snorri was broad. The Rus had a broad skull, broad shoulders, broad chest, broad gut, broad thighs, broad everything.
Give us a song, Cole.
My harp is back at the fort. Besides, you do not speak Gaelic, and they are the only songs I know.
Who cares? Even in Irish, your caterwauling beats the whistling of this god-cursed wind.
Very well, Snorri. One song, just to shut you up, then.
The men nearby rode in a little closer as Cole raised his head out of his cloak and sat up in his saddle. He took off his helmet and shook his red hair out over his shoulders. More of the men clustered near. At the head of the tiny column, the captain turned around in his saddle to see what was going on. Sir Jean Aynot was a Burgundian. He had fallen into debt with the church, and other than practicing banned magics, there was no quicker way to get Rome's unwanted attention. Cole raised a questioning eyebrow at the captain. The blunt-faced Burgundian nodded back. Cole made a show of scratching his weak old beard and searching the sky for a song.
Christ on the crotch, Cole. What do we have to do? Kiss you first. Sing something.
Cole ignored the soldiers and waited for Sir Jean's signal.
Oh, give us a song, you trick-teasing Welshman.
He had a song in mind. A love song. Love songs were what he was best at. No one in this company would know the difference or care. Not one of them spoke Gaelic. Latin was the binding language of the Holy League.
Tras ad garic gam vagi, et un hae gon hae.
The little Serbian, Roska, was riding point, and it was he who had shouted. His horse was already galloping ahead, and he dipped his lance as he sped away. Sir Jean waved his lance and pennon in the air over his head.
His shield Rubel to the man who brings it down!
The company surged forward like a pack of wolves. Cole slapped his helmet back on his head and yanked the strap under his chin as he spurred his horse. He scanned ahead and caught sight of their quarry. It stood caught out in the open near a pair of low hills. A goblin. It was the size of a child. Spindly arms and bowed twig legs sprouted from its bulbous torso. Its hairless head was shaped like a gourd, with a pinched face of slit eyes, slit nostrils, and a small mouth filled with teeth like a dog with a bad underbite. The goblin's hands and feet were enormous for its body, and in one of its spatulate hands the creature carried a curved throw stick bound with strips of hide. The green-skinned creature was barefoot and wore nothing save a tattered, scavenged deerskin. It froze in place for a moment as the squad of armored horsemen bore down on it. The excitement of the hunt swept the squadron forward as the little creature stood and hurled its throwing stick. The feeble weapon bounced in the dirt, far short of the mark.
He's a defiant little bastard! I give him that!
The goblin bolted for the low hills and the few sheltering trees behind it. Cole sent his horse surging ahead.
He's mine!
Roska was in the lead.
Not on your life, sir!
Slavomir, the Pole, was not far behind him. The goblin milled its arms and keened in terror as it ran, looking for some kind of cover in the barren landscape. Cole pulled ahead of the pack. Nando, the Spaniard, was right behind Cole, but Roska and Slavomir were going to beat them all to the mark. The Serb and the Pole dipped their gray lance blades for the kill. Goblins were not fast runners, but for all their awkward hopping and lurching, they were agile as hares. Cole kept his lance in his left hand with the reins and reached back to pull a javelin from the case behind his saddle. Cole was the son of a chieftain. He had been throwing javelins out of the saddle in the hunt and in war since he had been old enough to ride. Cole grinned fiercely into the wind. He had taken the last three goblins the squadron had seen. He intended to take the fourth.
Not this time, Kelp!
Nando's horse matched Cole's stride for stride, and the wiry little Castilian held his lance high as he spurred forward after Slavomir and Roska.
These dogs will miss, and then the prize? She is mine! Ha!
Cole leaned low in the saddle and urged his flagging horse on. The goblin reached the edge of the tiny rise and suddenly dropped out of sight. Cole and Nando swept after them and found the flat step falling away down a steep grade between the low hills. The Serb and the Pole closed on the goblin and stabbed overhand with their lances. The creature dodged and ran under Roska's rearing horse. Cole raised his javelin for the throw. Nando sailed between him and the target.
Like I say, Kelp, she is mine!
Nando's lance dug a furrow in the dirt as the goblin dodged the blow. The creature's misshapen hand clutched beneath the filthy hide it wore and came out with a barbed dart. The little Spaniard's eyes flew wide in shock as the dart sank under his chin up to the black crow feathers that fletched it. War horn and lance fell from his hands as he clutched his throat and toppled from his horse. Cole stood up in his stirrups and threw his javelin with all his might. The javelin punched through the goblin's chest and pinned it sitting to the ground. Cole yanked his shield around on its sling. He slipped his arm into the straps and looked about wildly. The goblins were everywhere. They surged out of holes in the hillsides on either side of the squadron and flowed forward in swarms. More goblins filled the top of the grade behind them. The soil of the tiny valley ahead seemed to vomit goblins up as if hell had run out of room. Nearly all of them carried wicker shields. They hurled more of the barbed and weighted darts as they came. Others held back and whirled slings. Throw sticks scythed at the horse's legs. Cole jerked up his shield as darts, stones, and sticks filled the air. Cole took his lance in an overhand grip as the rest of the squadron piled past him. Momentum took the squad farther down the grade, even as they sawed back on their reins. Slavomir and Roska had wheeled their ponies and were trying to gallop back up the grade, and they nearly smashed into the rest of the squadron as Sir Jean and the men tried to check their downhill plunge. The horses reared as they piled up on the slope and milled as they fought for footing in the loose soil. Discipline was gone. The men panicked as the goblins fell upon them. darts and sling stones hammered into Cole's shield like hail as he raised his lance. A misshapen creature howled forward, and Cole drove his spearhead down through its wicker shield. He struggled to pull his lance free, and two more of the creatures hurled down their shields and seized the shaft. Cole yanked on his lance, but the goblins hung onto his weapon with grim determination. He released his grip, and the stunted creatures fell backward, clutching their prize. Sir Jean looked frantically about as the things closed in.
Heeb! Do something!
The Danish wizard rose up in his saddle. He reached into his robe and then swept his hand before him in an arc. Golden dust spewed forth from his hand and ignored the wind as it sprayed out before him in a swift wedge of twinkling motes. The glittering cloud engulfed half a dozen charging goblins.
Sleep!
The six goblins stumbled. Their slit eyes rolled and closed. Their weapons fell from their spatulate hands and they collapsed to the earth. Ib thrust his hand into a saddlebag and pulled forth a carved wooden wand and a leather bag. He touched the two together.
I call for him!
Ib twisted in the saddle as a dart took him in the side. His wand and fetish bag fell from his hands as a throw stick struck him full in the face. A goblin grabbed Cole's stirrup and stabbed at his leg with a dart. The scales of his armor held. Cole stabbed down with his javelin, and the thing fell away with its face a red ruin. He wheeled his mount. Ib was gone, and his horse riderless.
Sazan!
The Burgundian knight had his long sword out and hewed all about himself. A goblin seized his bridle, and its weight dragged his mount's head down. Cole flung his last javelin, and the creature fell away. Sir Jean nodded grim thanks even as he swung his sword.
Cole! We have to...
Sir Jean reared back in his saddle as a noose of knotted horsehair fell around his neck and jerked tight. The knight hacked desperately at the rope, but the blade slid off without cutting. The two goblins hauling on the rope were joined by three more. The stunted creatures swarmed over the fallen knight. Their knives and hand axes rose and fell. Panic rose up Cole's spine. The situation was out of hand. A third of the squadron was down, and the rest were being separated into isolated battles. They were being pulled down one by one. Part of the squadron were trying to fight their way back up the grade, even as more goblins poured down it. They were being overwhelmed. Cole saw that the soft soil of the grade was freshly turned over. The situation struck him with icy clarity. It was not a natural slope. It had been excavated, just like the goblins' concealed holes.
Those things built a trap for cavalry!
Momentum was the only asset the squadron could muster against such overwhelming odds. The only chance they had was to form up and charge down into the teeth of the trap. The thrill of his perfectly balanced sword sang up his arm as he charged. Even under the overcast skies, the blade gleamed like quicksilver.
Squadron, form on me! Break and form on me!
Heads turned desperately. Horses wheeled.
Oh, yeah!
Snorri burst from the press and spurred towards him. Cole reared his horse and waved his sword like a banner.
Squadron!
A slung stone flew up under the wide brim of his sallet helmet and struck him behind the ear like a mallet. Cole's vision tunneled down and he reeled in the saddle. Cole turned his head in dim surprise as his sword slid unbidden from his nervous fingers. The frozen earth reared up at him. The fall smashed awareness back into Cole. Ice-cold fear took over. He had been unhorsed. Cole raised himself up on his hands and knees. He spied his sword a few feet away. He clasped the hilt of his sword as darts skated off his armor. Cole rose up and slid his other hand back into his shield strap. A lasso sailed through the air, and he raised his shield to ward off the loop. The charging goblins drew back and circled about him as he whipped his sword up. Cole saw his horse under siege. Two goblins pulled her head down by the reins, while others jabbed at her with javelins. Goblins fell away before Cole as he charged. One of the goblins tormenting Cole's horse turned as the huge human bore down on it. Cole swatted its javelin aside with his shield and cleaved the creature's skull. The goblins hanging on to his horse's reins dropped free. One managed to scamper back into the howling pack. The other fell as Cole's sword sheared its spine. The goblins surged to keep Cole away from his horse. Cole spun about in a grim dance. He killed and killed. The frozen dirt beneath him churned into a steaming red mud. Torn bodies lay all about him. The goblins kept Cole ringed, darting in and out in search of an opening. Cole whirled for his horse. The goblins fell back, and those around his beleaguered mount darted away from his raised blade. Cole grabbed the saddle horn with one hand and thrust his foot up into the stirrup as something blurred in front of his face. A noose settled around his neck and jerked tight. He tottered in his saddle as he tried to jam his fingers under the strangling rope. His panicked horse reared and rode out from under him. The pack surged over him. Knives and hand axes hacked at him. Cole thrashed as his leg armor failed, and cold iron sank into his thigh and stopped on bone. Another blade slid up under a scale and grated across his ribs. He was being butchered alive. Cole heaved under the mass of howling bodies and curled a leg underneath him. He threw off the goblins and lurched to his feet. Cole tottered as goblins grappled at his legs and tried to bring him back down. A goblin hung from his back and slammed its hand axe again and again into his helmet. A sledgehammer struck Cole from behind. He fell forward and the goblin on his back fell away in two halves. Cole found himself in a forest of trampling hooves and stabbing lances. Goblins fled in all directions. A hand swung down and hauled him up by his baldric. Snorri's ugly face loomed.
By the gods, Cole! We thought you dead for sure! His horse! We ride! Now or not at all!
Hands heaved Cole up into a saddle. Snorri pressed the reins into Cole's hands. Raska held out Cole's sword. Cole took it as Snorri cut the loop of the lariat around his neck. Raska brought the war horn to his lips. The horses spurred forward. The remnants of the squadron charged straight through the little valley. 10 of the 16 men were left, and 1,000 paces ahead, the killing box opened out onto the flat step again. Scores of goblins stood between them and freedom, but the men were mounted and charging in a wedge. The goblins were too small to stand in formation and stop them. They fell away before man and horse and hurled their weapons. A sling stone hit Raska in the face, and the Serb toppled out of his saddle. The squadron charged on. There could be no stopping. Momentum was their only weapon. The break in the hills drew closer, and they flew past the last of the holes the goblins had emerged from. The squadron had broken free. They spurred for the gap.
By the gods, what is that?
Shapes out of madness rode into the gap in the hills. Such beasts were never seen this far north. Cole had seen them before in the markets bordering Moorish Spain. The creatures were camels. Armored figures rode upon them, two per beast. The riders carried crossbows and hooked lances. The faces beneath the hoods were not human. Cole had seen such beings only in paintings. No one had seen such faces in 200 years, but Cole had spent his life as a warrior hearing about them and how they had nearly conquered all of Christendom.
Mabo!
They were hobgoblins. They dropped from their camels and took shelter between the long legs of the beasts. Six raised shields and lance. The other half dozen raised crossbows as the frontier cavalry bore down on them. There was nowhere left to go. The only way to freedom was forward.
Through them! On! On!
The hobgoblin crossbows thrummed.
Yeah!
Horse crashed into camel as the squadron plowed into the hobgoblin line. One hobgoblin leapt aside and tried to reload its crossbow. The rust spurred on and was through.
On! On!
The cavalry spears rammed home. The hobgoblins had hooked lances of their own. Two more men were dragged from their saddles. Cole bore straight for the gap, snoring cleared. Triumph surged through Cole's veins. He spurred on and turned in the saddle to see if the three other men had made it. The crossbow bolt hit him like a fist. Cole reeled as he stared at the leather-finned base of the finger-thick wooden quarrel beneath his collarbone. Cole reached up and tried to pull the quarrel out of his shoulder. The effort sent his vision spinning. His sword suddenly seemed too heavy to hold, but instinct pounded dimly in Cole's brain. If he lost the blade a second time, he would die. Cole clumsily shoved the sword through his war belt. The effort bent him over the saddle, and his skull throbbed from the sling stone he had taken. Cole felt his eyes closing.
Cole! Hold on!
Cole was too weary to answer. He leaned on his saddle horn and gazed with faraway interest at the hilt of the goblin longknife sticking up out of his thigh. He was cold. Cole desperately wanted to close his eyes. Deep down, something told him he would be warm if he did. Cole felt himself leaning over his horse's neck.
Cole! I'm coming! Don't fall!
Cole closed his eyes and fell out of the saddle.
Cole!